Although I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, this podcast is not therapy and should not be used as therapeutic intervention. Many of the products and practices mentioned are for educational and informational purposes only. Should you need support, please seek appropriate, qualified, and licensed professionals. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist, the podcast where we navigate the murky waters between what society expects and what it means to truly live, embrace the messiness, the beautiful chaos of life, and celebrating the rebellion in the process. Whether you're a recent graduate, a seasoned therapist, or someone just curious, there's something here for everyone. But before we dive in, make sure you join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect to other like-minded souls. I'm your host, Shauna Lovin, a seasoned therapist and wellness educator with a very rebellious spirit. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's rebellion. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist. I hope y'all are well. So today we are going to talk about a topic that is very much in the news. And y'all know I do not like to be political at all, but it's something that keeps coming up. And I'm hoping that I provide a different perspective and how it impacts therapists in particular. So don't come at me. These are just my thoughts and opinions, and hopefully my thoughts and opinions will spark you to do your own homework, your own research, and have a brain for yourself. Okay, so that's my disclaimer for today. All right, so there's this idea that, well, before I get there, let me say that this comes from being in the mental health field for 24 freaking years. And I have always worked a full-time job. After I became licensed, I started my practice at some point. I work with associates. And so I've always had like multiple jobs going on at one time. But the thing that brings me to this topic is the full-time jobs that I've had, because I've had to work for someone else, be under someone else's rules, and attend to whatever the company or whatever the needs are of the employer, what that is. And so it takes away some of the rights or ideas or whatever that I have for myself or how I would do things, because it's someone else's thing. And in grad school, they teach you to basically work for somebody else. And that's basically what it is. But today, I wanted to talk about a little bit about microaggressions in the workplace. And I think that is misunderstood and kind of mixed in with diversity and inclusion. So there's like two different things in my book. Okay, so for the sake of conversation, this is how we are defining diversity and inclusion. So diversity is basically when you are invited to the party. They say, hey, Shauna or Joe or Jane or whatever, come to the party, come over here and work for us. You are being invited. But there's inclusion where once you're actually at the party, they don't ask you to dance. And inclusion is more of being asked to dance. Oftentimes, people, companies, or whatnot are good about fulfilling that diversity piece, but they don't do anything about inclusion. I have my theories on that. And so when people talk about diversity inclusion now, they think like, oh, it's about getting the job. It's about, you know, you know, being people who are of color, you know, it helps them. And that's not the case, because if you have the requirements for the job, you're going to always be able to get a job. I have never been without a job because of my requirements and because I speak well, because I don't sound a lot like how I look. I'll just say that. A lot of people tend to be surprised when I show up and it's a brown face in front of them. So there's no issue about me getting to the party. The other piece is that the inclusion, though, is depends on where the party's at. It depends on what is the situation behind the party. And I have definitely been asked to dance. I've definitely been asked for my input. I've definitely been asked to, like, you know, show up and bring the skills that I was invited to the party about and actually do those. But I think the issue comes when people, when there's the microaggressions that happen. So when you look at microaggressions, it's about what is the intent versus what is the impact that you are trying to impart upon other people. So if you think about an employer, you think about, you know, the big boss in the suite, the C-suite in the circle office down the hallway with the windows. What is their intent versus the impact they are trying to bring? Sometimes the microaggressions, when you look at what that means, sometimes that are the unspoken rules. That's kind of like the matriarch of the family. And you just know there's certain shit you don't do because she's going to get in your ass if you do it. Nobody told you. It's just that's what the rules are. Then there's things like, what are the comments or the assumptions that are being made, microaggressions? Sometimes they're based on culture and race, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just truly skill based. I recall having two jobs in particular, and I'm not going to name them out. I'm not going to call them out. But if you know me personally, you probably know what I'm talking about. And I've had been in this place where these microaggressions were basically in the forefront of these two roles in particular. I got invited, I was doing the job, but then there was the one person or the small group of people who decided, like, for whatever reason, they didn't want what was being offered. They didn't want, like, a new view. They didn't want, you know, how to do things differently. And this is way before I realized my human design, and that's how I just operate anyway. So they didn't want what was being put on the table for them. Like, I was dancing, but they didn't want what was there. They just didn't want it. They didn't like, you know, that I was doing the waltz or, you know, the salsa or whatever else. They didn't like that. And so I had to figure out how to kind of work around that. It became really hard when no matter what you do or what you say is not received very well. And when you are constantly being shot down, that takes a jab at your skills and your confidence. And you feel like, oh my God, do I really know what the heck I'm doing or what I'm talking about or the skills I'm actually really offering? Like, is that something that I have? Like, really? So you second guess yourself. You start to have imposter syndrome. The more we start worrying and, you know, we start forgetting about our self-care because we're trying to fix whatever the problem is, then we're not doing self-care. We lead to burnout. Like, there's just, like, all these things that are happening at once and you can't figure out, like, what to do. And so after having these two places that really, in some ways, especially one of them, rocked me to my own core, because I was actually in the end fired for no good reason, I will say. They just found some bullshit and fired me. And yes, I was pissed about that. It made me a little depressed, and it was the first time that had ever happened to me. But I was like, wait a minute. it was nothing that I did wrong. I had to realize that. And of course, my husband, who is not the emotional person that he is, was like, babe, you got to suck it up. And get it together. And so I did. But then when the second time it happened, I had enough experience by then, to not saying that the first time I didn't, but the second time around, I had enough wits about me to basically speak up for myself and say a few words. Maybe they were not choice words, but I did say a few things and then was able to freely walk away from the situation because it was just too much. It was better for my own mental health and sanity for me to walk away on that second position than it was for me to continue to stay in it and endure the way I was being treated as a person, as my skill set, as, you know, all those things. And it had nothing to do with my race. It had nothing to do with any of that. It purely had to do with what I was bringing to the table, and they didn't like it in both cases. So over the years, I actually really thought about what is it about these microaggressions that we deal with in the workplace? And there's a couple of things that I kind of came up with. You can agree with me if you want, you can disagree with me, you can take it with a grain of salt. But in my experiences, this is what I have kind of come to understanding of, maybe what happened. First and foremost, the person that was dishing out this microaggression, basically, they wanted to make themselves look good. So that was the first piece. And there was some level of insecurity about themselves and their own skills. They were like, well, you know, if Shauna is going to freaking outshine me, I can't have that happen because it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing because I am whatever. And in both cases that I was in this situation, it was the department head. It was the director. It was the big dog. They felt threatened by who I was and what I was bringing to the table. And so to make themselves look good, and to make their own insecurities better, they took jabs at me. The second thing that comes up is I have had these jobs where mental health, I was the mental health professional that they were seeking, inviting to the dance, because that's what something that they needed. That's what the company or entity needed. And it boiled down to, in both of these cases, neither one of them knew anything about mental health, nothing about it. They knew surface stuff, but they didn't know the nitty gritty. They didn't know what could happen. It's not textbook. We go to school all these years and we learn all this shit in the textbook, and then half of it is not even what's happening in real life. I'm just being honest. And so they didn't know what mental health really is, and they were not knowledgeable about the ins and outs. And because of that, they would question things that I would bring to the table for the improvements. So that was another piece. The third thing I came up with is they would kind of say, you know, because things were not textbook, right? Like I said, nothing seems to be textbook when it comes to mental health. But because things weren't textbook, they didn't view the situation or me or mental health as a person, as a human being. Okay, you have someone who's depressed. Here are the categories that they need to meet for depression. But because there's a human aspect to everyone, they felt if they didn't meet the criteria, then how could they be depressed? And it's just y'all need to understand it is not textbook. And this goes back to just their lack of knowledge in the mental health field. And that sometimes mental health or mental health concerns don't look the same, even when it's different people and it's the same thing, everybody got depression. It don't look the same. And that was something they couldn't add in the human aspect to people and situations because they didn't understand, because it didn't look like what they read in a book. So that's kind of more definitely on their knowledge, but they're forgetting the human aspect piece. The last one that came up was, and it happened probably, I didn't see it coming, but when you look back on situations, you kind of learn a lot. And in these cases, you do all this work, you bring some new stuff to the table, then, you know, they're throwing shots at you, you leave, you do whatever you do, you quit, you get fired, whatever, and then they use your work as their own. And it hurts. I'm going to say that it hurts. And this is why I think our intellectual property needs to have its own copyright, its own like trademark, its own stuff, because you do all this work, you set everything up, you get everything moving, and because you walked away for your own mental health and your own sanity, they use your stuff to this day. Now, one of these, the last job, I haven't been there in since probably before COVID. And every once in a while, I get a comment or I get someone to look me up through my own private practice because they're like, oh, I saw you at this training, such and such, for this company. And I thought I'd reach out to you for support or for something else. And it still happens. And that's how I know they're still using my shit. But I'm just saying. So I'm not saying that microaggressions are, they're bad in some ways. They're also good. They're good because it helps you understand what are the things that you don't like. What are the things that you may need to change about what you're doing in your practice? And then those are the things that you can start working on. You don't have to take other people's shit because they are insecure about themselves and what they're doing to make themselves look good. As a therapist, it doesn't matter what role you're in. If you work for a mental health company, if you work for, you know, another entity that is integrating mental health, if you are the consult person coming in, you're doing stuff, your contract, it doesn't matter what your role is. You don't have to take shit from people. You don't. You are your own human being, person. You are different. You are individualized. People are going to love you because you are you, not any other reason. And if you sit around and take microaggressions, you take these jabs that people are giving you, then I want you to really sit with yourself and ask why. Is it because of the money? Is it because of the insurance? Is it because, you know, maybe there's a lack of confidence? Maybe there's imposter syndrome. Question yourself on why you put up with other people's bullshit. I'm just saying. So I bring this to the table because it's not always about diversity and inclusion. It's not always about that. A lot of times underneath that, if a person is definitely qualified, now I'm not talking about people that are not qualified, but if you're coming to the table, you are qualified, you've been invited to the party, you've been doing the dance, but you've been getting those microaggressions, that's what I'm talking about. You don't have to take that. So I'm going to say, figure out how you can improve your situation, how you can grow from it, how you can learn from it, walk away if you had to, do what you need to do to take care of yourself and your sanity. Because in the end, you are the person that is responsible for yourself. You're the person that's embodying whatever you need to do. You are the person that needs to divert your energy in more helpful ways. You are the person where you need to trust your own intuition because you already have what you need. I hope this was helpful. Until next time.
Thanks for joining today's rebellion with me. Remember, it's okay to be a hot mess sometimes. It's all part of the journey. Until next time, stay rebellious, stay authentic, and keep embracing the beautiful messiness of life. Don't forget to join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect with other like-minded souls. And anything mentioned in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, you share with a friend, you leave a review, and you keep coming back for more. This podcast was brought to you by Healing Roots Wellness and Botanicals. For more information, please visit healingrootswab.com.